A friend of mine who's me and him, a picture of me and him. He's like 90 something, right? It's before my beard, right? So she sends me back this, that. I look younger there without my beard. And I told her, it's because he's 90 years old that I look younger. No, the beard's going to come off because she can't stand what I'm fixing to say. Look at her. She hates going through the briar patch to get to the picnic ground. That's what I'm saying. No, it was fun while it lasted, but they say that the less hair you have, the younger you look, so I think I'm going to shave my head and everything. So we've been talking about Holy Spirit, and today we're going to talk about the day of Pentecost. Hopefully you'll get an understanding in that. I'm going to do a little illustration. I love this. I love this because the whole time y'all are here, you're wondering what's behind it. You know, the word says the law gives sin its power. So if it wasn't here, you wouldn't be wondering what was behind it. I'll show you in a minute. I'm not going to wait till the very end like most guys do. Actually, this will be in the beginning. Let's look at the word, man. Love the word. So this is Paul writing to Theophilus. He says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach, and until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. And during the 40 days that he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he's giving them an oversight of Jesus, obviously. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. So once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave. You want to know how to pronounce that? Remember the show Perry Mason? All right, well, just go Perry Mayno. That's Texan. You're supposed to do all this gurgle with the R and stuff, but you'll get spit on, so don't do it. But just keep that in your brain where he said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he's promised. As I told you before, John baptized, baptizo is how you pronounce that, with. Now, let me explain this. So you've been here a while, you understand this. It's the word in the language is in, E-N, and it literally means in. On occasion, they'll put with. On occasion, they'll use it as beside. But 99 times out of 100, it means in. Okay? And that's important to understand. So John will baptize you in water, right? That makes sense, right? But in just a few days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I'll even do this now. How about that? Let's just do this now for everybody. Now, I want to explain something to you. This is Holy Spirit. Water represents Holy Spirit. You got it? Holy Spirit that lives in you when you ask Christ into your life. Do you understand? Remember, we talked about that. Now, watch this. In the Old Testament, prior to Jesus coming, the Bible said, there was two different words it used. In fact, I wrote them down just because I wanted to. In the Hebrew, the word selach, which means the Holy Spirit would rush on them. For instance, when you remember Samson, right? And Samson had the crazy strength. You know, he took the donkey, the jawbone of the donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines. Think of that, guys. That, you know, we read that and go on. Do that in your brain, one at a time. One, two, that would be like killing everybody in here five times. It's amazing that the jawbone stayed here. But the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It's that word selach, which means rushed upon him. So, but understand, it was on him. So the Holy Spirit came on him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then there's another word called labash, or however you say it. Anyway, and it means to be clothed. You remember Gideon? And that whole story of Gideon, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in our language. Well, the word was labash, which means was clothed in. So he's clothed in. But notice the Holy Spirit would come and go. There were judges that the Holy Spirit would come upon and they would prophesy. And there was, you know, David and Solomon. I mean, there's so many in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit came upon them. You get it. And then it came upon them. And then he would come upon them because there would be a specific task for them to accomplish. Well, then Jesus came. And he died on the cross and he restored our relationship with God. And then the Bible says, I covered this a couple of weeks ago. Remember, he came into the disciples and they were all freaked out because he was alive, and he came in through the wall instead of the door. And the first thing that he did, he said, peace. Peace to you. How cool would that be if we could just walk in that? But then the Bible says he breathed into them. In the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament, he would come in for a work. Jesus accomplished everything on the cross. He said it, tetelestai, it's done. And then he filled them with the Holy Spirit. And he said, every one of you are filled that believe in me. But then he also said, you know, I'm not sure that's going to be enough. I think you need something more than Holy Spirit in you. I think you need power. The word's dunamis in the Greek language, and that's where we get the word dynamite from. So go ahead and put that next scripture up there. And this is who we were, filled with the Holy Spirit, thank God, no longer just coming on occasion, but in us. And then, when the day of Pentecost had come, Acts 2, had come, that word means completely, entirely fulfilled, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled to the top, made complete, the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as fire distributing themselves and rested upon each one of them. They were filled, fulfilled, filled with the word in again, in the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So you see what Jesus did. Jesus blew and he said, but you know what? I've got to go. I've got to go. I've got to go. But I'm going to send you somebody. And no longer you're going to have a separate end. I've just blew him into you. But now you're going to be baptized. That word is baptizo. And that word literally means like a ship that has sunk to the bottom of the ocean. And I want you to notice something. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, every single part of you is covered. Do you hear me? Mind, physical mind, and all this stuff. And for years we've battled with this, and we fight over whether this is as legitimate as anything in the Bible. You cannot at some point in time read your word and go, okay, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to exclude that. You know, and we've had it over the years. People have tried to exclude the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they don't understand. Yeah, that's exactly right. Here. So that word, again, baptizo means to repeatedly immerse, sunken vessel, cleansed, overwhelmed. I've shared an illustration with you before about the Holy Spirit is a waterfall. He's constant. He's there. You're inside him. He's not just inside you now. When we have this baptism and we get hung up on the tongue talking and all that, stop, stop, stop. That comes absolutely. I told you I speak in tongues. I do, and that's what gives me power to love you. And when you can't love folks, you need to get out of yourself and into him. So watch. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection restored relationship with God. And yes, he said to tetelestai, and yes, it was over. But he also said, I've got to go so I can give you something. You get it? So Jesus' death restored us, but this Pentecost experience empowers us. That's the completion of who Jesus is for people on this earth. The completion wasn't, yes, he completed everything for our salvation, but our salvation, we just will continue to struggle if we don't have something to empower us. And that something is the Holy Spirit that already lives within you. I'm going to give you the key to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to wait till the end on that one, though. See, because I was trained and taught just all kinds of stuff. And it's not bashing the folks that I was raised in churches. It's the only way they understood. You know, some would tell you to tarry, the word tarry, wait, and then someone would tell you to, you know, hold on, and then let loose, and then, you know, just all these other things. So they're, that's not who he is. He does not come to confuse. The enemy tries to confuse. Do you think the enemy wants you plugged into this power? No. So, this particular day of Pentecost, here's what's so ironic. Most people in church just understand Pentecost as that day of Pentecost. Oh, yeah, I know what the Pentecost was. That's when they were all speaking in other tongues. Well, no, sorry, go back 1,000 years, because the Pentecost was actually in the Jewish community. They still have Pentecost. It's called, let me I wrote it so I could say it and spell it as I spell it. Shavuot is what they call it. It's called the Feast of Weeks, and it's to celebrate the harvest and to celebrate God giving the law to the people. And it's so the 7 weeks is called the Feast of Weeks, being 7 weeks, 49 days, and then you add one day to make Pentecost, which is where the word Pentecost comes from, which is 50 days. So it's 50 days after the Lord gave, you get it, 50 days after the Lord gave. So that's what, so they've been celebrating that for you. Now this 30 AD one was a little bit different, because as usual, they had gathered to observe this harvest and the remembering of the law. And again, the first Pentecost was the birth of the law, but this one was the birth of the church. And so here's what has happened, though. This impression of the church then, and I'm talking about then, to the church of the Jewish community, you know, you can call it synagogue, temple, whatever, the impression of the church was the same as some it is today, and that is to be good. See, church is for good people who have stopped doing sin. Or better yet, it's for people who have guilty consciences that need help. So if this is true, being religious or good enough would matter, but God would only be for the spiritual ones and the useful ones and the good ones. And that's what they had created in the early church, was that's who God was for, because nobody else could. I mean, come on, man. Here he is ministering life to people, and they're saying, why are you eating with scum? So, God made the first move. He gave the law so that we would recognize we can't be good on our own. Then, God gave his Son to pardon us for not doing the law and not being good. We like that part. Then the Son gave us the Holy Spirit so that we would have the power to do and to be good. Some of us haven't gotten to that point because he is in us, but we're not in him. You get it? And listen, please, please, please stop with this thought pattern of speaking in tongues is the key. This everywhere, now understand me, everywhere in the Word where the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon people, they spoke with other tongues. Yes, and I believe absolutely as you hang in there with God that you will speak in other tongues, but you're not seeking the tongue, you're seeking him. You want to be in him. And I promise you, you'll get there. I told you the story last week about the kid from Walmart. He didn't have a clue. He just, all of a sudden, it just started happening because he started hanging. But see, what has happened is we've been taught so much about holy rollers and crazy people. And, you know, you can call it what you will. I'm telling you right now, I'm a tongue-talking crazy man. I don't go to offend people. You know, there's people who, like, you know, the Bible says that we're to, you know, we're to be pray without ceasing. So, I mean, I was at a college doing a seminar for them. And these kids were walking down the hall, and they were speaking in tongues because that was their understanding of, you know, we've got to pray without ceasing. So they're just, you know, you can't have a conversation with them. Stop. Jesus is real. God is real. Holy Spirit's real. He is real. And he's real cool. And I promise you, it's only because I'm in him that I can love you like I love you. It's the truth. And I love that. Because you know what, Ed? Stand up for a second. How's this for crazy? Stand up for me. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Do I need to stand here and tell you how horrible you are? You don't have to say nothing. Or do I just need to take you and hold you and tell you how precious you are to me? See, because that's all you've ever needed, right? Isn't it amazing that it's that that changes you? Not me telling you how stupid and horrible you are. Isn't that amazing? It's all good, mister. So I hope some of you are offended that I put feet marks on the pew, so get over it. You're going to have people like that in your life sometimes. Here's where I'm at, and let's stay here. So, we cannot teach people to be good. We have to have more than that. If education were the answer, there would be nobody who smokes, drinks and drives, murders, steals, does drugs, overeats, or anything. If education were the answer. Because we've got enough education for people to understand. How many times? Man, you smoked for 40 years. You know you should quit. Yeah, okay, great, thanks. I'm educated. I've read the Surgeon General's thing on the pack of cigarettes. I get it. Exactly. The problem isn't that we don't know what to do. It's that we don't want to do it. Now watch. So we don't need more education. We need transformation. We need less of I have to and more of I want to. We have been in the place in my life when I was raised in church, it was have to's. And never did I ever reach want to until I came to know Christ in a very real way. So, and by the way, friends, that is the purpose of that day of Pentecost, for this dunamis, dynamic power to overwhelm us. So watch this. After that day of Pentecost, the connection between the law and the people changed. God changed the way that we connect to the law because that way was faulty. Watch now. But the law's perfect in what it was designed to do. Look at Scripture. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it's given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For nobody can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus, and this is true for everybody who believes, no matter who we are. We're jumping down about five chapters to the next verse. To the next Romans 8, I think it is. Where am I at here? Stand by. It's Romans 7. I was close. So now, here's where the rubber hits the road. But now, we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of what? Living in the Spirit. I want you to get this. In the Spirit, not just the Spirit living in you. Do you hear me? We can live in the Spirit. That was the whole purpose of Pentecost, that we can live in the Spirit. Is that making sense to people? Are you good with it? Everybody good with it? For years, man, I was raised in Pentecost church. It was an Assembly of God churches for my whole life. And the guilt that was dumped on this was ridiculous because I didn't realize the truth of it. You know, that was the ultimate goal of life. And here I am understanding this, that there's a new way of living in the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I got to leave so I can send the Spirit. So, then verse 7, here we go. Apostle Paul, well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Don't be stupid, is what I would have said. But I didn't. He said, of course not. I don't know how I should bet that on the Greek. In fact, he said, this is greatness. It was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law hadn't said you must not covet. But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetousness in me. Within me. He said, why? Because if there were no law, sin would not have that power. I got to give you a great illustration that just happened yesterday. We had a meeting with our leadership, the deacons and our staff, and we're in the process of putting together the law, if you want to call it the law. It's not really the law. We're putting in the process of putting together instructions for people who are in leadership. Because of our church, because we absolutely love and accept absolutely everybody, I don't care what your background is, I don't care if you're stubbornly in sin or struggling in sin, it's not the point. I love you, and you can be here, and we welcome you. But there's a difference between that and in leadership, so we're trying to put into place something for leadership for there to be an understanding, basically being we all struggle, but if you have decided that you're just going to be hard-headed and live in sin, well, you obviously can't represent the church or you can't be in ministry, whatever. So we're in this meeting, and this is what I love about this. My message was already prepared. I didn't even think of my message till I finished the meeting. We got into my office and I reread my message. But we're in this meeting, and we how many times I tell you it's all about Jesus. Focus on Jesus, not yourself. But because you're trying to put into place some kind of guideline for folks that are viewed as leadership, we're discussing this, and I mean, we're talking about, we're pulling it out of the Bible, all the ugly, I mean, just nasty, ugly sin. And this was exactly what was happening. You know, we're thinking, okay, well, there's homosexuality, and then there's people who live together, and we're getting thrown, you know, and then we get to the one where it says hate, and it's like, uh-oh. So what happens? The law gives sin its power. So all of a sudden, all of us in that room, all of your great leadership of this church is starting to look inward instead of outward. And so, you know what the truth is? Paul said it to the Philippians in chapter 4, I think it was, in the Philippian church. He said, think on these things, pure things, good things. Now, I say that to say we have to look at this. I get this. But I want you to see what happens is sin causes us to look at sin. Like Paul said, man, if the law didn't tell me coveting was wrong, I wouldn't even know it. But now that I know it, man, I'm wanting everything. You get it. And so it's just this massive, and to a person, we just kind of felt dirty. Like we had done something wrong. We had done nothing wrong. You get it? And I hope you do. Because the truth is, this church is moving forward in loving people. Yes, there'll be standards for leadership. Absolutely. Has to be in this day and age. Has to be. But the focus is, we all struggle. Don't give up the struggle. Don't give up the fight, man. Paul said it best when he's talking about it. Man, he said, I've done all these things. I've struggled through this. I've been beat up. I've done all this stuff. But God's love will never change towards me, you know, blah, blah. And then at the end of his whole life, he's like, one thing I did, I pressed on. I focused on him. I didn't look to my side. I didn't look behind. I focused on him. I pressed on to the higher calling of God in Christ. Had a grip. He was constantly having to explain to people why, when they'd say, oh, you're just saying people can do anything. He's, no, the law's perfect. People aren't. You get it. It wasn't the word that was telling us all these ugly things that were making this thing ugly, it was because people are ugly. It's our sinful nature. Do you get it? But once you really get it, then you'll start living in Him and you'll focus on Him and all this other stuff will become behind you. It's really true. I love Him. I do. I can honestly say I love God. And there for years I probably said it, but didn't mean it. It's what my wife said earlier. Until you receive His love, you can't not only love others, you can't love yourself. King of self-hatred here for years and years and years. God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I already read that. So, watch this. So, Jesus' death took care of the power of the law. But it doesn't stop there. And that's where your greasy, gray, sloppy, agape guys stop, if you will. He took care of the power of the law, but in its stead, He gave us the Holy Spirit power. Look at this out of Galatians. Paul's writing to the Galatian church who were struggling with everything in life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When He was hung on the cross, He took it upon Himself, the curse of our wrongdoing, for it is written in the Scriptures, curses everyone who is hung on a tree. Now watch this. Through Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing that He promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. We are looking to receive the Holy Spirit. Therein lies the rub right there for you, Ed, and everybody else in this place. We receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have people laying hands on you to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Will you speak in tongues? Probably at some point in time, because you'll run out of words to say. That really is how Steve Van Zandt, all I can tell you, you know, I don't have the great story of how, you know, I just was one day just shook to the rafters and, you know, there was no dove coming after me, man. There wasn't. I wish I could tell you there was. The truth is, I ran out of words. I'm praying, God, and this overwhelming love's coming at me. And I'm like, I can't. And then it came, this tongue thing. But I was by myself, so I didn't have the pressure. You know what I'm saying about pressure. I'm going to get you there. Just a second, I'm going to get you there. Where am I at here? We're not going to stay here long. So the law clearly showed us that we sin, watch, but it didn't give us a way out. Pentecost, the power, dunamis power of Holy Spirit, came to give us the way. I'll walk you through Scripture where it tells us, and we'll get there, where it tells us the Holy Spirit power, we have overcome sin, and all of us will go, well, no way, we've overcome sin, because we've overcome sin. We have victory over sin. We really, really, really do. But it's in the Holy Spirit where that is, because that's the only place where the power is. Okay? So, Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit came and gave us the way. Through Holy Spirit, the tablets of stone that were written in the Old Testament by God and by God twice were written in our hearts. Hebrews 8:10, here it is. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their fronio, in their minds, says the Lord, and I will put my laws, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now look, just so you know, God promised this Pentecostal experience hundreds of years earlier through His prophet Ezekiel. I'm not going to talk about Joel, where when Peter quoted Joel in the second chapter of Acts. I'm talking about Ezekiel. Look what Ezekiel said. The Holy Spirit through Ezekiel said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you, watch this, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them. I want you to hear this very clearly. You will do them. Not out of demand, but you will do them. Because the do them part comes through relationship, not demand. I do for my wife because I love her, not because she demands it of me. She might suggest something to me, but I still am motivated by my love for her. Do you understand this? And this is just agape, just eros love that we have for each other. I mean, obviously there's agape incorporated. So this do me part, through relationship, not by demand. It's through transformation, not through education. So what was once external do's and don'ts will become internal. They'll become a part of who we are. Do you get it? In other words, it won't just be an external, oh man, I messed up. It will be an internal, Holy Spirit, help me. So watch this. The power to please God is found in power of the Holy Spirit. So again, I'm going to end this thing right now. How's that? Man, good. I'll get to go eat lunch early. Cowboys don't play till next year. How dare you laugh? They went further than they have in a while. Anyway, so we're going to end where we started. I'm going to put it in the scripture where I started. Once, when he was eating, when they're talking about Jesus, he commanded them, Parameno. Don't leave, but wait. Parameno is the wait part of the don't leave part. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised, as I told you before. Para means because of. Meno means remain with intention. You want this power, then you're going to have to unplug Facebook and all your other social media. You want this power, turn your phone off. You want this power, don't put worship music on. You want this power, this is what it literally means, to wait for on purpose. You ever waited for, we've had to wait all the time, but you ever waited for anything on purpose? When my wife was having our first child, Charity, and I say the first, because you know when you start having more babies, it's like, whatever. I mean, we've got 8 million pictures of Charity and like one of Jake. You know, Charity's the same way. She's got 8 million pictures of Leah and one of Grayson. You know, Mackenzie's the youngest. I don't even know if she's got so many. But we were at the hospital at 7 o'clock Christmas morning as the whole hospital proclaimed we were going to have a Christmas baby. At 2 o'clock the next morning, as all these other babies were being pumped out on Christmas Day, but then they put little Santa Claus hats on. Yeah, Charity didn't get a Santa Claus hat. Did she? I don't think so. Charity came. Gay had to wait on purpose. I waited on purpose. I was so focused on this child. What an experience, but it was on purpose. I think a lot of times we go into our prayer closets or whatever you want to call it, and we have an agenda or something. I'm telling you, if you want the power, you've got to stay on purpose. And here's my new quote, and then I am done. Here's food for thought. If we spent the same amount of time waiting on purpose as we do discounting his baptism or trying to figure him out, we just might receive his power to live in victory over sin. And therein lies the truth. When I finally quit listening to everybody on how to do this, and I was a young pup when this my experience happened, and I just was kind of tired, alive. I didn't have nothing to say. I just sat. And I got overwhelmed with his love and his mercy. And how can you love me like that? How could you know me better than I know myself and love me more than anybody else could? I can't. How do you do that? And the power is there. Jesus breathed him in. Holy Spirit baptized. We could just stay right there. How cool would life be, huh? Amen.
I think that's why all the older songs and the newer songs talk about take me deeper, deeper. I want you to know today that you've been educated, right? We come to church and we learn, and we clear things. But it's not knowledge for the sake of knowledge. We have to apply what we know. So we apply it. I know that those guys are saying, I know I should be in this room. He told me not to leave Jerusalem, so I'm going to apply what I know, but I need to experience it. Guys, today, you have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit giving you hope that the things that you're believing God to do in your lives, He's going to do. I love that version that Steve read from in Acts 2 because it said that the house was filled with a noise and a rushing mighty wind. Is there a noise in your house today? Because see, what I see is adversity. God sees His opportunity. Is there a noise going on around you? Something that you want to be worried about and concerned about? Because that noise is the opportunity for God to come in and fill that place of fear with faith and operate in your life. I'm going to ask you to stand with me today. And while you're standing, just move on out. If you're saying, I'm in that place, I got the noise in my ear, and I'm needing something today. Be on purpose, yes. Let adversity be the opportunity to experience the power of God. I don't want to embarrass you, Ed. But I do want some men to come and pray with Ed today and just love on him. So, Ed, if you just come down here. You know what? The mind gets tired of trying to figure stuff out. We just need to love it out. And you're loved. I'm going to ask Tracy, Michael, if you just come over here. Tracy's hurting today. Things. We're going to come and we're just going to pray that the Holy Spirit will just fill those places. Amen? Yes, because we love Him. I want some to come and pray with Miss Linda. Thank you. While we're praying today, I want you guys to pray for Miss Madge. She fell. She's bruised really badly, but praise God, she didn't break anything. But we need to pray for Madge today. There are many I'm going to forget in this. The Luna family, they had a loss from a young man, a five-year-old. We're going to keep praying over that accident for him. Anyone else, lift your hand where you are if you need prayer. Miss Beth? Yes. Carl? Going to ask some more men to go and pray with Carl and Beth. Some of you ladies, go pray over here with Carl and Beth, please. Have another hand lifted here. Be the body. Be the body. That's it. Connect. Father, we just thank You right now. God, we keep hearing all this noise around us in our nation. God, it's just such noise. God, we're believing as we stand united, just doing what we're told to do. Waiting, God. We're asking You to show up. Show up, Lord, and fill those places in us, God, that have been vacated by fear and worry. And change me, God. Change me today, Lord. Change how I see it, Lord, to see things the way You see them. Lord, we speak healing right now into these homes, God. We speak healing right now, God, into these families and these bodies, God. Healing, God, over Your people. I want to thank You, God, for the reports that have come in this week where a report was given in the negative and You turned it for Your good, God. We thank You for that. Lord, I'm not looking to show you off. I'm looking to show up to receive your goodness today, God. Let it be right now, God. Through the power of your Spirit, Lord, we speak life. Lord, I believe. I need some people to believe with me today for Madge. Who will believe with me today for hope to spring back up in hearts? Who will believe with me today for people to come home to the full knowledge of God and receive His goodness? Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe in your word today, God. And we believe that you're greater, God, than our pain. I believe that you're greater, God, than what people say. I'm going to believe what you say, God. And I'm going to trust you right now, God. Turn this thing around for your glory, God. Move in and let healing begin to come in the hearts of the hurting. God, those who've lost hope, God, go in. Cover our leaders, God. All our leaders, God. Cover all our leaders in America, God. Move, God, through your love, God, back into homes. Unite us around this, God, to celebrate. Celebrate who you are. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God, I just pray right now that those who've walked in guilt and shame and condemnation would be set free from that bondage and receive your love, that we may walk away from the trap, God, and lead others with us, Lord, to the good news of who you are. And for this, Father, today we say thank you. In Jesus' name.